Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Beautiful day because the week is halfway gone. I guess I shouldn't rush time, but anyway, glad to have you with us. And whatever you want to talk about, the number is 516-387-1944, because we have on, at least for the first half hour, the mighty, mighty Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and my technical producer, G's Power Hour. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gretchen. I'm good. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. One day at a time. One day at a time. So have you been following the hearings for
the
Supreme Court nominee? Okay.
I have, but I have to turn it off, Gretchen. You know, because a lot of this is political theater. But let me just say, I got a chance to see the first day where, you know, they all had an opening statement, and then she had her opening statement, and then, of course, they adjourned for the Tuesday and Wednesday questioning. But to see her mom and dad and how proud they were, her brother was there, and to see her husband and how emotional she was, and the daughter sitting there watching them, and to understand that his twin brother was there, another brother was there, the brother-in-law was there, his parents were both there. It was a powerful moment for me to say, this is what America can be and should be. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful to see, and I couldn't have been more proud. And I'm glad that the Democratic senators just said, you know what, not only are you qualified, you have exemplified, your qualifications are bigger than any of the rest that have ever come through here. And I'm just proud to see her and how eloquently she has answered the questions. And I've watched her facial expressions, and I've watched her take on all these questions and answer them with class. But yesterday I just kind of, every time, gosh, Cruz from Texas, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I know. I was watching part of the opening too, and there's a part of me that was saying, "Can you say antebellum?"
And on Twitter, you know, I'm a big Twitter person, probably more than I am Facebook. I'm on Twitter more than Facebook. For Facebook, for my clients, I schedule the post Monday through Sunday, and I really don't go through the timeline like I do Twitter. And they crossed out someone from the Republican Party, posted a picture of her, and crossed out, you know, Supreme Court Justice nominee, and they put CRT. And all day I was like, okay, what's CRT? So I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to go and look it up. And then I thought, no, I don't need to look it up. They say that she's a part of critical race theory. So it's amazing. It does not take long for this to move over into the space of racism. And it's both sexism and racism. And this is the same senator panel have passed her or nominated her for three other federal judge positions. So she's gone through the same group before. It's amazing that we're here now and then all of a sudden, you know, the Republicans are saying, well, we're not going to do you like they did Justice. Gosh, I can't remember his name, who, you know, was accused by a high school student of sexual assault, just went through it. We're not going to treat you like the Democrats treated, Why are we saying that? But I think Gretchen, she's handled it beautifully. And I'm so proud that she looks like me. She looks like us. And that she carries herself so well. I couldn't be more proud. I wish your mom and my mom had an opportunity to see this on this side.
Goodness. Our ancestors are just celebrating right now.
Aren't they celebrating?
Yes, they are.
You know, and I knew that they celebrated in with President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama in the White House. That was such a proud moment for me. I think this is double that for me, and to see now for a lifetime, because she will be affirmed for a lifetime, she will be a Supreme Court justice. This is just the process, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Hopefully she goes home Friday and has a good meal and rest and wait for the confirmation, which I hope will come Friday or Monday.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, too. But, you know, you talk about the fact that she has been through this process before with a lot of these same people, but now it's all, you know, it's more contentious. And bottom line, to me, that's that, and maybe they realize and maybe they don't, but that is that pure example to me of that institutional racism where someone wants to tell you, okay, you stay in your lane, or this is as far as you go. You know, you were okay for doing that. You're okay for doing that, but you're not good enough for this.
Exactly. Yeah. So many people have said affirmative action, that's all, and that, you know, President Joe Biden limited his options when he said he was going to choose an African, nominate an African-American woman. They said that then that's, you know, And we've gone so far off base. And again, I understand that there is going to be two major political parties in America at this time. Maybe more, you know, coming forward. But at this time, this is what we have. But I hope that I am a recognizer of talent and understand where we are. And that we don't look at this, you know, from a political side. If this had been an African-American woman and she happens to have leaned Republican, but she sound like this, look like this, and talk like this, I could care less what political party or who nominated her. It's just good to see. I would want to see more bipartisanship, but the hearings have been what they are. I can't say it enough, though. Every time I see her, I smile.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand that for a variety of reasons that maybe a lot of people who aren't like us don't, okay? Because and part of it is that even when affirmative action was put into place, a lot of times the people that benefited were not people that looked exactly like us. They fit the criteria on paper, but they didn't look like you and me. Okay.
Yeah.
And nothing, and just to be clear, nothing against the people who benefited from that. It's just that, the people who used the tool may adopted it to make it, how should I say it, palatable for them. Okay.
Yeah.
So yes, So, yeah. And you know, I mean, those people that got upset about President Biden saying that, you know, this is what he was going to do, need to ask themselves, would they, if they were the person to make a selection, would they have selected someone like this, who looks like this, who has this person's experience? Would they have done it on their own? And,
No.
A lot of them, and for the most part, probably no, but a lot of them, I think it's every now and then you have to kind of stick the finger in their face or point and give clear directions in terms of, you are not doing this and here's why. You know, I had a discussion, and I won't be too specific, but I had a discussion with some people about the selection of some other people, for certain positions, and at one point in time, in something I was involved in, and I said, you know, you make exceptions for this person and for that person, and with all the other options and opportunities out there, did you make a selection? Why couldn't you not have made a selection for someone of color? For an African, and to be more specific, for an African American person, and not the same one or two people that you go to on a regular basis, because it's funny. It's like, well, you know, there's this person and there's that person. A lot of times, people can count these people on one hand and still have fingers left, because they associate with the same one or two over and over and over again, and you know, and those are the ones that they know. Do you extend outside of your neighborhood when you go shopping, or when you go for entertainment, or you know, what do you do? I live west of Interstate 4 here in Orlando, and I sat down, and people, it's funny how people can have these open conversations and feel that they don't have to worry about who they may insult or may disparage or whatever. But I was sitting in a luncheon or something, and there was a person not of color who was like, oh, no, I don't go anywhere west of I-4, you know. Other people talking about how there's too much, let's say, crime over on that side, or whatever the case may be, without necessarily having all of the facts. And they're too caught up in their comfort zone to really learn what's actually going on in their whole community, not just a little pocket that, or enclave that they're in. Did I lose you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it on because I was definitely talking, so I'm glad you said something. Exactly. And we'll continue to have that culture, those women clutch their pearls when talking about west of I-4 when they really don't understand. But Gretchen, when you and I were coming up as teenagers, mm-hmm. the Congress and the senators' forum look like old white men, and there mm-hmm. weren't that many. The diversity was that not there. To see us come to 2004 and 2008 with President Obama, and to see how women of color have flourished as congresswomen and are running for office like crazy is amazing to me. And since the 1800s, 1789, 112 Supreme Court justices, and only three of color. Only three of color. Only three of color.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those
yeah.
was Sonia Sotomayor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Thurgood Marshall and Justice Clarence Thomas, as a matter of fact, I'm wishing get well soon to Justice Thomas.
Yes.
He's still in the hospital with an infection. They're not saying what. I want him to get well and recover. But sometimes because of his political views, I don't count him. I'm sorry, but at least he was nominated and he's a justice. But out of 112, only three of color? Where is the – I don't even know where you go with this, with that.
And let me just say this when we talk about Clarence Thomas, and yes, we do – we wish him a thorough and speedy recovery. Yeah, a lot of us that recall, you know, his nomination and stuff like that and have followed, you know, his time on the bench don't necessarily agree with him. But this is where we got to say, when we say, and it's hard sometimes, but when we say we believe in diversity, we have to say we believe in diversity in all of its forms, which is sometimes hard. Or if we're going to say, you know, you need to be, you know, if you're going to be specific, then it needs to be noted. It needs to be out there that you're going to be specific about, you know, what you mean when you say you believe in diversity. And then also, too, you know, because his views don't necessarily mesh with a lot of other people's views that are of color. So, you know, that's one of the things that we've got to recognize. You know, he wasn't some people's choice, but, you know, he was a choice that did kind of knock down some barriers, a few anyway, and continue to do so.
Well, you know, I even have to say this, Gretchen. I'm sorry to apologize for that.
Sure. No, don't apologize.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is a least favorite of mine, not for his political views or his racial makeup, but if he had anything to do with any type of sexual assault, then that's where my disdain for any man comes from. And let it be known that women, thank you for the evolution of women and what we're doing in today. You can put your hand on us now. You can't rub against our chest now. In the workplace or whatever, we will not be, you know, I don't know, not looking for the word monopolized, but you think you know what I'm talking about, coerced now to perform at work and be, you know, even individually supervised by you, and then you give us those options of, hey, do this or do this, sleep with me or do this. Those days are over, but that is the world that we come from or that we have evolved from, and it has not always been a good one. And I'm going to go off kilter here just a little bit.
Sure.
The gentleman that was on NBC, and he was the Today Show host, Matt Lauer. Gretchen, when I understood that Matt Lauer was who he was, and coercing women behind closed doors that were on his staff, I said, okay, this is really big. Because I thought he was such a docile man, very intelligent, da-da-da-da-da. Mm. But that is the way of a certain type of man. A pure gentleman, when you find one, hold on to him, because men have grown up in that whole arena or that whole personality of, hey, I have a wife, but I'm also going to do this, and that's a shame. But I'm hoping that we see more females on the Supreme Court. I hope there are more that are nominated. And if they happen to look like me, I'm going to be cheering too.
Yeah. Yeah, but also, too, let's be clear. We need – when you say – we need to understand – and right now we are looking at that favorably because we are still continuing to try to break down barriers because we had immigration attorney Nadine Brown on earlier this week, and she talked about things that she would like to see, you know, an Asian American Supreme Court justice, indigenous person Supreme Court justice. I'm not sure now. We changed the names so much for people. Mm. We need to ask people how they want to be referred to. You know, we really just do. Our culture, we've had several name changes. The thing about it is that we need to understand that these kind of milestones are going to be important until they aren't, meaning that we are very much wanting people of certain cultures to be present in the Supreme Court as well as other arenas. And then once that becomes more normal, we then have to be more resolute about making sure that these people are people of good character, and that they, you know, when they vote, they have a good conscience when they are voting on various issues. We have to be careful that, you know, we don't fall into the trap of just putting people in there because of what they look like or where they come from. That has to kind of be more on the forefront now, but hopefully at some point we're just putting good people on the Supreme Court and in Congress and in the presidency and other areas, and it doesn't really matter what they look like or where they came from, as long as they're qualified to do the job. And some people feel that we've gotten there, and that's why there's a lot of people that want affirmative action to be nixed, but we haven't. Not really. Mm-hmm. Not. We still have some, you know, some good work has been done, yes, but it's not over, you know.
Yeah.
And for those who think it is, you guys are a little bit too comfortable.
Exactly. Senator McConnell said, Minority Leader Senator McConnell said that there should not be any reparation because President Obama has taken care of that. We should be pleased that there was an African-American that was voted into office, not once, but twice. One has nothing to do with the other. And I want people to sit at the table that look like me, that understand where I come from and what my struggles may have been or what they may be in the future and what I am viewed as when I leave out of my home. And a lifetime mm-hmm. appointment, a lifetime appointment as a Supreme Court justice is a powerful position. And she will affect policy for the rest of her life until she decides to retire. But a lifetime mm-hmm. appointment is something that even our president does not get. Thank goodness for that, or we'd be in trouble if that happened during Donald Trump. So, you know, but, you know, I'm just very proud, very proud. And every time I hear her talk, I just learn something new. And even, you know, you could tell some of her facial expressions, but she remains so professional, so professional.
Yeah.
I want to be like her.
And that brings me to another point. And I'm sorry, but, when you have these types of issues or front and center, it kind of dredges up other things, you know. And I keep wanting us to get to a point where we feel that we expect less of someone that looks or sounds like us, you know. I mean, yeah, we appreciate how she's come across, but then also there's a part of me that says, did we expect anything less? You know, why do we keep expecting less,
mm-hmm.
or why do other people? Why does anybody keep expecting less of us? And we've got to get to a point where we don't expect less of us, and we also have to get to a point where we comport ourselves where we don't fall into that possibility that someone expects less of us. I have people that I've known for a number of years. For example, and I'm not talking about it a lot yet because I'm still working on it, but I'm in the process of putting together a nonprofit. One of the things that the state of Florida requires is that you have board members. So, and they can't be related because I hang out with a lot of my relatives most of the time, but it can't be related. And I had to go back to, okay, who do I trust? You know, who really knows me and gets me? And I, you know, the first person I asked is someone that I've had on the show. I'm not going into a lot of it right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I sent the proposal and everything and inquired. And I didn't really have to say much before this person said, I know.
Of course.
I've known you. I know who you are. You don't have to, you know, you aren't, I know that you're not, basically bottom line was, I know you're a person that's not going to do anything shady and put me at jeopardy, you know?
Exactly.
You know, so we all have to work to be people like that are worthy of people who just automatically accept that we're good people. You know, by virtue of how we carry ourselves and what we say and do. So
And my reference to she sounds wonderful, and she's my reference to that was in the face of some of the adversity that she's seen, versus what Brett Kavanaugh faced. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, he was so belligerent, and I'm just proud that even in the face of some of that adversity, she's remained calm. I expected nothing less, and you won't get that syndrome, she talks white syndrome from me. What is talking like she's white? What is
I used to get that all the time. And
I know.
So
I'm sure.
I used to get that all the time as a kid, and so it kind of bothered me. So then I started, incorporating some slang into my conversation. My mom used to have fits because her thing was, you know, she came from an era where education was very important. Talking correctly was very important, you know, and you know, she just cringed, you know, because she did not want me to throw that away. And it was only until my father, who he was kind of like, you know, how you had band or dance moms or whatever, but he was band dad. He was the one in my later years that ran around with me and everything and took me places and stuff like that. And it was only him reassuring her. He's like, I've heard her in conversations with these people, and I've heard her in conversations with those people. And she turns it off and on like a switch. you know, it's like, you have nothing to worry about, you know. But, you know, as I've gotten older, my thing is, let me just be me. Let me not be pretentious. You know, you need to accept me whether I'm, you know, talking ghetto, as some people would say, or I'm talking white, as other people would say. Just let me be me. That is where I am at, and that I've gotten to in my life right now. So that's just it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
You know, I try not to, you know, even – some of John's friends will call the house. None of my friends say that because they know me. They know who I am. But they'll say, hey, white girl. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't get to do that.
Yeah.
I've been talking like this all my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was just adamant as my sixth grade teacher, as my mom, as my friend, you know, say what you mean and mean what you say. Hold your head up. You know, shake people's hand and look them in the eye. And when you enter a room, enter the room with pride and act like you've been there before. Just
yes.
Certain things. And, you didn't get to leave the house looking like anything. You didn't get to go to the store in pajamas and slippers or rollers in your hair. You just didn't get
That's a whole other conversation.
It is. That's a whole other show, Gretchen.
Oh, my gosh. And if I didn't have a guest, and I really need to have this guest on, but if I didn't have a guest, yeah, we need to get into that. We really do. But anyway, Madam CEO Princess Cooper, thank you for hanging with me for the first half hour. We are going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about an event that happens today celebrating women and unity. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are going to talk about an event that's coming up this afternoon, as there are several events, though, honoring Women's History Month. And I'm sorry if I can't get everybody on, but if you know of an event, please let us know. Hit me up on the G's Power Hour Facebook page and tell me about it. Let me know. But anyway, the event that we're going to have this afternoon is the Women's History Month celebration. It's a Unity Networking Mixer. It's the fourth annual event. Gigi Mormon is supposed to come on and talk about it, and so we're hoping to have her on soon. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the Jazz Festival this past weekend. But I wanted to let you all know there is a jazz festival coming up this weekend, this Saturday. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings is having a jazz festival, Jazz in the Park. He's had it before. I haven't had a chance to go before, but I am definitely working on trying to go this coming Saturday. And so the MC is Yvonne Coleman. I know her. She was formerly a host on WLOQ, our jazz station here in Orlando. Our own local Jones High School alumni band is going to be a part of the festivities. It's from 2 to 6 this coming Saturday at Cypress Grove Park. That's on Holden Avenue. It's a beautiful park, too, by the way. So if you get a chance, and the thing about it that's in a way better than last week is that this is supposed to be free from what I understand. So anyway, I have posted information on the G's Power Hour Facebook page with regards to that. So hopefully you'll get a chance to attend and support this event. I mean, if someone's going to foot the bill for you to come out and enjoy some great music, you ought to go. So I know, I'm going to try to make it there myself. So anyway, the number, if you have questions, comments, concerns, is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. And I'm still waiting on our guest. And so hopefully she's busy planning for this evening. But while I'm waiting, hello? Oh, thought I heard somebody. While I'm waiting, I wanted to just mention something that I came across that if you are trying to start a business, I came across some information. I guess it was posted last month in the Orlando Sentinel, but I did want to share it with you. There's a program for a grant for women entrepreneurs in Central Florida. It's via UCF and USF and University of Florida and Florida Tech. UCF won a $150,000 federal grant to support women entrepreneurs in 23 Florida counties as part of the United States Small Business Administration's Small Business Innovative Research Program. It's going to be the $150,000 is going to be divided between UCF, USF, UF, and Florida Tech. So if you are wanting to, I'm going to try to post that page too. If you are trying to start a business and you kind of need a little boost, it's supposed to, the money is supposed to be used to provide one-on-one support for female business founders, it says, by offering educational opportunities, webinars, and partnering with organizations that specialize in workshops and seminars. So you may not necessarily get the money, but you can get as much as possible in terms of the knowledge out there and resources out there that are available. So I'm going, like I said, I found this and I was like, I really want to make sure that people know about this program. They can apply through the UCF Business Incubation Program. So I'm going to post that on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. The number, if you have questions, comments, anything, 516-387-1944. I'm still waiting on the guests. And I will post about this evening's event just in case you are able to go. But in the meantime, let me take a quick break and we will come back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you?
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Also, while we're remembering people, we want to keep in prayer the people in the Gulf Coast states in Alabama, Louisiana. I actually have a friend that ended up going to New Orleans for vacation. And unfortunately, they've been in the midst of a lot of bad weather there. So please keep them in prayer and, I'll try to see if there's any updated information in terms of what's going on there so that in case they are in need of any type of help, I can post it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and let you go for the afternoon. We will be talking again soon. Thank you for being with us. Be well, be safe, be blessed. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And, no, we didn't go away, actually. We are back, and we are talking to Gigi Mormon about an event that's coming up this afternoon. And, hi, how are you doing? I know you're busy as I don't know what.
Yes, I'm running around like a chicken without a head, just making sure that everything is set for tonight, Gretchen. But thank you for the opportunity to take this moment and just, you know, share with your listeners what we have going on tonight.
Well, thank you. Tell us what's going on. This is a fourth of this kind of event. I didn't realize that this had happened before, so I was glad to find out about it.
Yes, thank you. We're kind of like the little-known secret of Black Orlando. So this particular series for Women's History Month has been going on for 4 years. So this is our fourth annual. For this particular event, we chose to talk about mental health and work with presenters who are going to provide tools and strategies for people to deal with issues like anxiety and depression, stress, generational trauma, and then making sure, because those are kind of heavy conversations, that we ended on a lighter note with spirituality as a path to joy. So even though we're talking about things that are real and they're honest, they're a little bit heavy, and so we want to make sure that people do leave our event and leave the live stream feeling uplifted and encouraged, that no matter what situation they're going to, that the sun is going to come up tomorrow and that everything is going to be okay.
Amen to that. Tell me a little bit about who the facilitators are for this event and how they were selected.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's all about connections. It's organic connections, and I meet people along the way, or I'm referred to people that I'm told are just phenomenal. And so I bring them into my different events in a very organic way so that we can create good conversation for people and different strategies to help them in their life. So we have two licensed therapists. One is Talisa Stowers, and Talisa will be talking about spirituality as a path to joy. And then we have Shelley Fanfan, who is going to be talking to us about depression and anxiety. And she loves teaching people about the secret sauce to living in their smiles. And then we have Dr. Bahia Maroon, who describes herself as a well-being warrior and a social scientist. And Dr. Maroon is actually the moderator for our ninth annual Black History Month celebration that took place last month. And one of the comments that we received, one of the feedbacks, is that the way that she intertwined the conversations amongst the panel made people want to hear more from her. So we're really excited that she's going to be one of our panelists. And then the entire discussion is going to be navigated by our MC, Landra Womack. Landra is a community relations specialist with the Office of the Orange County Tax Collector. And she has a mantra that says, get busy living. So Landra is very heavily involved in the community. And I think she's a great person to kind of, you know, unwind the conversation that we're having today. And she was actually one of the people that helped me come up with the ideas for today's conversation. But I met them all. In fact, I haven't met Talisa Stowers yet in person. She was just referred to me by one of my dear friends, Harold Mills. So when your friend says, you know, you've got to meet this woman, then I try really hard to make sure I meet this woman. So we're excited for the conversations that are going to take place today. It's a professional development, mental development event, but it's also social networking. So in person, we're going to have a female DJ. DJ Mella Yellow is going to be setting some good vibes for us. We have food being catered by Ollie's Catering. We're going to be taking out some photos, and we're going to be doing a special tribute to a local community builder that is near and dear to my heart. I won't say her name online just in case she's listening, because she doesn't know that we're going to surprise her tonight with a bouquet of roses. She's been going through some medical issues lately, and we want to let her know that we want to give her flowers while she's here and present with us.
That's beautiful, because, yeah, you always have to make sure that you're not celebrating people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with celebrating people after they're gone, but you definitely need to celebrate them and make sure that they know they're loved and appreciated while they're, you know, with us and still doing the work. So
absolutely, that should be the one thing all of us learned from COVID.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness,
we just never know.
Speaking of COVID, so I take it that this was, you know, since you said 4 years, this obviously began pre-COVID. What was the catalyst for this program?
You know, I came together with one of my dear friends, Arlene Blake from Women on the Rise International, and We facilitated the conversation and the event as just a way for us to celebrate all of the phenomenal women that we have here in Central Florida. I mean, you know, we have Black History Month, and we've been doing something for Black History Month for 9 years, but we really wanted to make sure that we were highlighting African-American, Caribbean-American, African women in our stories, and making sure that they were represented on panels and making sure that their voices were heard in the room. That's a big part of what we're talking about, is make sure that your voice is heard in the room. And then let's celebrate the women who are powering Central Florida forward. So one of our sponsors is Connect Forward. And one of their things, one of their strategies is to make sure that they're always moving forward. And I think that's really important for us in terms of our progression, to make sure that we're moving forward. Our other presenting sponsor is Pepsi, and their branding is Pepsi, you know, we're stronger together. So we partner with organizations, with companies that have that mindset where we're stronger together. It's about collaboration, and it's about making sure that we are celebrating the people who are game changers and agents of change, and making sure that we're keeping that at the forefront of our mind, that without them, the ceilings wouldn't be broken. You know, we've been fortunate here in Central Florida to have people like Congresswoman Val Demings, you know, breaking of the glass ceiling as the first female police chief. And, you know, Dr. Barbara Jenkins becoming the first female superintendent of the Orange County school system. These are things that we have to make sure that we are celebrating. And women, you know, we birth nations, so why should we not be celebrating ourselves during that month of March, during the entire year, but especially during the month of March, to make sure that we know that we are connected as a village and as a tribe.
So where's this event going to be held?
The event is taking place at the UCF downtown campus. We're going to be in their Academic Commons building. And the address is, I can tell you right now, it's on West Livingston Street. We have shut down the online ticket purchases because we create name tags for everyone. But mm-hmm. people will still be able to attend in person by coming mm-hmm. to the event and purchasing a ticket there. The address for the UCF Academic Commons, the West Wing Building, is 28 West Livingston Street, downtown Orlando, and it's at the corner of Livingston and Terry. And there's a convenient parking garage right down the street. It's like a three-minute walk. The ticket sales that will be available for your audience to participate if they want to participate virtually, we're going to be live streaming mm-hmm. the event. And so they will be able to purchase a ticket to live stream the event. And I just want to emphasize, for this particular event, when I say you're buying a ticket, you're actually really making a donation, because all of the proceeds from the ticket sales are going to go to the Greatest Investment Girls Empowerment Program. And that program has been around for 13 years, making sure that they can empower they can educate and empower the next generation of fierce female leaders. So I would love for your audience to take a look at their website, tgicamp.org, and know that we are supporting a 501c3 that is committed to making sure that our future female leaders are in the best position possible, that they've had exposure, that they've had access, and that they've had experiences. And so all of the proceeds from tonight's event are going to them. In addition to that, we're doing a couple of raffle drawings at the event so people can buy raffle tickets to help us raise funds for TGI. And we're giving away some great stuff. We have gift cards from Capital Grille International Drive. We have a hotel stay with brunch from the Grand Bohemian Orlando. And we even have a last-minute prize came in a couple of days ago. I was so happy about it. It is two round-trip tickets to Nassau, Bahamas, courtesy of our friends at Bahamas Air. That's another opportunity for us to raise more money for the girls' camp. So I'm really excited about what's taking place tonight, and I hope that your listeners will join us either virtually or in person if they're here in Orlando.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Great Investment Girls Empowerment Program and the girls' camp?
Absolutely, yeah. So COVID prevented them from having in-person summer camps the last few years, but we're hoping that this year they can come back in person for a four-week summer camp. It typically goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and the days vary in terms of what takes place, but you'll have guest speakers come in. We've been privileged to have Dr. Jenkins and Congresswoman Demings come and talk to the girls. We'll have pediatricians come in and talk to them. We'll have firefighters, female firefighters come in and talk to them. It's all about exposure, so we'll have guest speakers. We take them out on cultural experiences where we take them to, for example, a Ethiopian restaurant for lunch, or we'll bring in some Haitian food so that the girls can be exposed to different cultures. And when we do those lunches, we also have someone give us some history on those countries so that there's a connection to the food and to the people. We take them out on field trips. There's always one day of the week that is a service day. So that day we'll be committed to going to places like Second Food Harvest or Second Harvest Food Bank and making sure that we're giving back to the community. We want to teach the girls the importance of giving back to the community and being a true part of the community. And then, of course, because it's summertime, we'll take them out on a couple of field trips. We've taken them to SeaWorld in the past, thanks to their generosity. We've taken them to Disney. We've taken them to theater shows. Dr. Phillips Center has donated some tickets for them to see a show. And so it's about exposure, making sure as much as possible that we can pour into these young girls who are age 12 to 18 and help them. We even do college tours for our high school campers. And this is all the brainchild of one of my sisters and dear friends, Nadine Mentor, who wanted to make sure that her mentee wasn't losing progress over the summer. And so she, within 3 or 4 weeks, started a four-week camp for girls to make sure that they wouldn't lose any progress during the school year. We've had over 200 girls come through the program. Many of our students have graduated from college and then come back to be a mentor to the girls that are in the program over the summer. My daughter completed the program or did a couple of years in the program, and it was a great benefit for her. She was able to see things outside of her normal circle. She was able to make some new friends. She was able to get exposure to, brilliant women who are doing amazing things here in our community, and to learn about different career paths. So I highly recommend that, people who are looking to sponsor an organization that's doing great work in the community, go to our website, www.tgicamp.org, and learn more about what we're doing. We're also, always looking for volunteers, and our volunteers are vetted through the Orange County Public School System so that we make sure that our girls are in a safe environment. This has been a program that's been going on for 13 years. So we're really excited to raise some money to continue to support the program and to help provide scholarships for some of the girls to matriculate through college.
And when you say you're looking for volunteers and mentors and all that, are they primarily just female, or are there any ways that any of the men in our community can help?
So primarily, yes, we're looking for females because we want them to see women in these different roles, but we absolutely
right.
have had the support of the men in our village over the years. So every year there is a male panel that takes place where we have gentlemen in their 20s, 30s that are talking to the girls about relationships and respect mm-hmm. and dignity and how to carry yourself in a relationship. There mm-hmm. are also, we have a group from Altamont Springs that has participated, a Rotary group that has participated by providing lunch one day. So mm-hmm. For several years, they provided barbecue lunches for mm-hmm. us, or they brought lunch in for the girls. And that was one way that they participated. So we have definitely had the men in our village participate.
Well, sorry, we're out of time, but thank you, Gigi, for taking the time out, and best of luck and success with your event this evening and ongoing success with the camp and everything in the future. Thank you for taking the time. Have a blessed day.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Gretchen. All righty.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Be well. Bye-bye.
Hey.
And that's all for Juice Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.